ladies and gentlemen, you know what? I'm going to assume that we have all just entirely lost. Now, this is not going to be a defeatist video. I'm just going to assume that, yes, we have all lost this battle. Now, for the better part of a year, I've kind of been talking about the whole age verification, the whole, like, internet surveillance machine that we're effectively allowing around us. And the reality of it is that many laws are getting introduced, many things are getting passed, and the world is changing very rapidly. Before GTA 6 drops this year, I guarantee you the internet that we once loved, the last bastion of real human freedom, is going to be a very controlled, very surveilled aspect. And why is that? Well, literally the other day, there was this thing called the GUARD Act. Not the other day, actually, this has been about a week old. But this started to get introduced, and it's being rammed through the entire machine as we speak. So what the fuck does this bill do that the other ones don't do? Well, it's all complementary, right? So for instance, if you run artificial intelligence chatbots, they will start implementing age verification measures. Now remember, AI is supposed to be this technology that, you know, is supposed to be the next huge big thing, like the smartphone, for instance. Everyone's supposed to be using it. Everyone's supposed to be getting access to it. And now the government has found a way to require identification because ultimately it's the minors that they're trying to protect in this case. So, you know, a lot of these politicians will go and stand in front of, you know, people like Sewell Setzer, who, for anybody that doesn't know this kid's unfortunate story, he was a 14-year-old kid who was driven to take in his own life because he spent time talking to an internet chatbot. The chatbot was alleged to be character.ai. Now, character.ai has been the subject of very, 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 very insane lawsuits, one of them involving the fact that the state of Pennsylvania is accusing this AI service of allegedly holding a license to practice medicine and surgery. Yes, basically on this platform, you can go and build yourself any kind of an AI companion that you want, because it is kind of psychotic. We live in a world that people are, instead of socially talking to people outside, they're talking to AI systems. So the character that was allegedly built purportedly held a license to practice medicine and surgery in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Holding oneself out as authorized to practice, you know, medicine and surgery, obviously, as you can imagine, not really something that legally flies very well. So why did the AI do this? I really don't fucking know. It's an AI model. It probably was just playing along, and it decided, hey, in its reasoning chain, it probably thought, hey, in order to be a doctor, I should probably give them like a fake number that I'm going to generate here, like a license ID. And it probably would have done it if you asked it to roleplay as a fucking lawyer, if you asked it to roleplay as really anything. And ultimately, I don't know what the future of these lawsuits are going to be, but it's one of the reasons that these politicians go up and they kind of dangle your dead child in front of the world so that they can push more mass surveillance. Now, these are very extreme cases that a lot of these, you know, like politicians are using to push for what really is mass surveillance, right? The ability for these organizations to grab your identification, put them into a database that may or may not get hacked in the future, but one that stores, you know, who is using what, who is going where, in a very, 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 very disgusting trend that, again, if you can't call it mass surveillance, I'd say you're being willfully ignorant of the situation. So they say that Congress finds that AI chatbots are increasingly being deployed on social media platforms and in consumer applications. So this doesn't just mean character.ai, it could mean things like Grok, for instance, which is built into like Twitter at such a very deep level. You can call up Grok at any moment. You know, Meta has their own AI chatbots across all of its services. I wouldn't be surprised if YouTube will invent an AI chatbot buddy that you can talk to as you're binge-watching videos on the internet, right? Like, I think that's the fucking, it's the standard course for every social media site. So these chatbots can generate and disseminate harmful or sexually explicit content to children. The chatbot can manipulate emotions and influence behavior in ways that exploit the developmental vulnerabilities of minors. Okay, so I love how they mention minors specifically. What about the developmental vulnerabilities of even adults? Like, if you're gonna target this emotionally charged thing, you might as well protect everyone, right? The widespread availability of such chatbots exposes children to physical and psychological safety risks, including grooming, addiction, self-harm, and harm to others. Protecting children from artificial intelligence chatbots that simulate human interaction without accountability is a compelling governmental interest. So, yes, this is kind of the response, and a lot of this is also, listen, this is a huge problem that comes out to even the big AI companies. The fact that they don't self-regulate hard enough is one of the reasons why the government uses it as an excuse to push for their own draconian shit down the road. So, inside here, this is the scariest part, right? So what they mention is, in their definitions, an AI companion means an artificial intelligence chatbot that provides adaptive, human-like responses to user inputs and is designed to encourage or facilitate the simulation of interpersonal or emotional interaction. I'm going to tell you right now, that is so fucking vague, that involves every fucking chatbot that you've ever interacted with in your life. Probably even the ones that aren't fucking AI run. You know, for instance, a lot of these big models, in fact, every single AI harness that you'll ever come across, you know, the way that these AIs respond to you is they do mimic human speech. So they are, almost all of them fall into this vague definition that they've listed. But the other reality of it is, too, is even if you use something that is self-hosted, like I do, this is Open Web UI, a lot of these artificial intelligences come with a personalization feature, which, when you enable it, basically build a memory of you as a user. So the more you use these chatbots, the more they understand you, the more they cater towards you, the more they build their responses around their individual user. And every major and open source AI service now has these features kind of built in. So when you see this kind of a fucking law, it just shows you that it's a very vague law with the intention of covering everything, not just an AI companion. So two is artificial intelligence chatbot. So the term artificial intelligence chatbot means any interactive computer service or software application that produces new expressive content or responses not fully predetermined by the developer, accepts open-ended natural language or multimodal user input that produces adaptive or context-responsive output. B, does not include an interactive computer service or software application to which the responses of which are limited or contextualized replies, so something like fucking Clippy or very basic, that is unable to respond to a range of topic outside of a narrow specified purpose. So here's the interesting thing about this fucking spiel. It's so vague that it goes beyond just character AI or Claude or ChatGPT or fucking Gemini or whatever the fuck big model exists out there. It also covers things like Open Web UI. This is an open source, self-hosted AI chatbot service that I run on my own home cloud server. So 290 million downloads, you can install it right fucking now. It's so easy that if you know how to use Docker, and if you watch my channel, I've shown you how to install Docker onto your server, onto anything. You can basically launch this whole thing via your Docker or via fucking Python or whatever the hell, whatever you're most comfortable with. They give you all of the installation and launch commands right here. And immediately, if you look closer into this, what are you going to do? Are you going to force groups like Open Web UI to give me this software if I give them my ID? Do I have to age verify myself to download this? It's kind of similar to age verification in operating systems. Like, it makes sense for Windows because Microsoft's distributing the OS. It makes sense for Apple because they're distributing macOS. It does not make sense for Linux because you can just download any fucking distribution from any side of the world. If I want to use Ubuntu, I can. If I want to use a fucking distribution from China, I can. If I want to use Red Star OS from North Korea, I can. If I want to use fucking Jubuntu, I can, okay? If my hard drive was promised like 3,000 fucking years ago, all right? I can use whatever I want. Whereas with open source software, I can download all this shit and self-host it. And this only happens on my local box or my home server. How the fuck are you gonna police that? How are you gonna police people downloading an uncensored model and talking to it about dirty shit all the time? How are you gonna police it? What is gonna be the future for the internet? Are you gonna go to platforms like Hugging Face, where you actually are allowed to download hundreds of thousands of these models freely available? Are you gonna limit this shit where you can't download models like DeepSeek? Are you gonna limit it where you can't download, text to video models like Sulfur? Where, you know, again, what is the end goal for these organizations, right? Like, it's just, you know, one of the things that really fucks with me a lot too is I feel like we've lost this fight because We've lost this fight because really it's only nerds like me bitching about it, okay? Even if all of us collectively got together, there were polls that I saw done where, at least in Canada, for instance, right, 75%, 3 out of every 4 people support a social media ban for people under the age of 16. So again, because they attach children and their safety to this, everyone's like, yeah, banner for kids. I mean, kids could get addicted. Kids could see some crazy shit on the internet, right? We all are capable of seeing. It's not about the kid. They don't give a fuck about the kids. They just give a fuck about logging everyone on the internet, man. I don't understand how to explain this to the average normie. It's crazy. That's why I feel like we've lost the fight. So we might as well just learn how to fight the system and not, you know, comply with these shitty laws, right? Like, assume they're all passed. What now? That's where my mentality has shifted to in the last few months. So ultimately, it's not just this. Like, the UK had a huge age verification situation where, like, overnight people were like, I can't access this website. Let me switch to a VPN. So, you know, one of the organizations over there, YouGov, decided to ask Britons if they've even encountered these restrictions. And a lot of these people were like, I have not. So I don't know how skewed some of these polls are, because polling isn't exactly perfect, but I don't doubt it. If somebody's just sitting there browsing like standard TikToks or whatever, or something that, I don't know, maybe they don't even know what the block looks like, right? But the reality of it is whenever you attach children to this, right, like age verification, almost a week after the implementation, Britons are even less likely to think new rules will be effective at preventing under 18s from accessing pornography, but the large majority still support them. So when you ask people, right, post-implementation, a vast majority of them actually support it. They're like, cool, all right, let's put age verification in. Some people are just super comfortable with whipping out their fucking, you know, ID from their wallet, right? Like, where the fuck is mine? And that's my health card. Actually, where is my ID? Where the fuck? Oh, there it is. So people are okay with whipping out their driver's license, for instance, right? Like they're okay with whipping. I have to kind of block this. I don't know if anything could be grabbed, but they're okay with whipping out their actual driver's license, their passport, whatever, feeding it into a service and letting it blatantly, letting it just catalog where the fuck they go on the internet. It doesn't stop at porn. Porn was one of these things that a lot of these like governments brought in because it was the easiest thing to sort of push for age verification. But look at where it started, and now it's talking about AI chatbots. I mean, it's talking about, you know, maybe co-sharing platforms like GitHub, anything with any form of user-shared content, which surprisingly is a lot of websites are being focused on. And that is definitely scary. You know, there's a game that I love called Deus Ex from back in the day, and I feel like if there was ever a situation where I gave you homework, God forbid, the homework would be buy Deus Ex for like $8 on Steam and just give it a playthrough. Deus Ex had this thing called the Aquinas Protocol, which was the successor to like the Internet Protocol. And the reality of it is that whereas when it came to this protocol, it was basically billed as the free internet, and everyone was like, hey, everyone gets access to this technology. I guess an analog might be AI if it ever becomes truly accessible. But the reality of it is that it was basically a protocol that allowed the government to track every single individual on the internet and whatever the fuck they were doing. They were basically surveilling internet traffic via the encryption system that they were selling to the actual audience. And very few people were ever able to even understand or discuss it in the universe. It was really just a conspiracy theory talking point in the game. In a game that's all about various conspiracy theories and implementing them in a very, very, very logical way. Play Deus Ex, okay? That's the best fucking advice. If you ever want to know why I think the way that I do, it's constantly looking up conspiracies since my high school era and playing games like Deus Ex, okay? This is the ultimate conspiracy theory tinfoil hat game. Fuck watching InfoWars. Fuck watching any conspiracy theory slop on the internet. Play Deus Ex, okay? Pour yourself a nice glass of wine. Play some fucking Peak while you're at it, okay? Because that's the world we're headed to. We're headed to the world of the Aquinas Protocol. We don't even have the cool cyberpunk shit, too. So look, ultimately the end, while this is kind of passing through, what is the ways that we can kind of fight back, okay? Now, I've shown you that when you can set up Docker and some self-hosted containers, you can actually run things like CRXNG, which, you know, instead of using Google search, for instance, use CRXNG, which is a meta search engine that allows you to self-host your own search. And every single search in this video has been done through my own local CRXNG endpoint. So for instance, if I look up the Guard Act, I can just search for that, and boom, without any ads, AI slop, less than a second, I actually get the proper results of what it is that I'm fucking looking at, okay? The Guard Act. Now, it's also interesting that if you know your IP address, for instance, right, and on my computer, the IP address internally is 192.168.50.206. So because I'm hosting this on port 8888, what I can do is, even if I'm on, say, my iPhone, for instance, right, I can go to this exact thing. I can type in 192.168.50.206.8888, and I can actually access CRXNG on my smartphone. As long as I'm connected to my home network, I can access this container across every device that I'm on. So if I look for things like the Guard Act on my actual phone, within a second, I get better search results, in my opinion, than if I decided to go to, like, Google or, like, fucking anything. I would say Ask Jeeves, but Ask Jeeves, unfortunately, fucking shut down, too, so end of an era there. When it comes to operating systems where age verification is sort of forced in, and I say Google because they're going to put age verification or at least try to implement it in some way into the search engine. But when it comes to the OS, instead of using Windows or Mac, you can have the option of using things like CacheOS, which is, if you're a gamer, probably the best operating system that you can use to get off of Windows while still supporting a vast majority of your gaming hardware and a lot of your video games. Provided you don't play a lot of those anti-cheat enabled dog shits, this will basically convert your Windows system into a pretty powerful Linux equivalent gaming system as well too. And it's got a whole bunch of compiler optimizations, kernel tuning that makes it even better than other distributions in its class. Even if you're not somebody that wants a gaming system, you can get something like Fedora Linux, which is what the big man Linus Torvalds uses, and you can just install from a vast variety of the standard operating system. You can install the modern desktop environments, and if you're somebody that hosts your own fucking server, well, you can even get their server operating system. What about cell phones? When it comes to privacy and security on some of the most important things that I send, I use a Pixel with Graphene operating systems installed. So by going to GrapheneOS, I've shown you how to install this. It's as simple as plugging your phone into your fucking computer, clicking the install Graphene, going to the web-based USB, following this guide, and then of course, down here, basically clicking these buttons to send commands over the USB to your phone, and you can download the OS, flash the OS, lock and unlock your bootloader without even entering in those pesky terminal commands, right? It's so easy to start breaking out of the matrix that I think since this battle is, in my opinion, we're already at the losing battle, everyone's mostly given up their fucking rights for the vast majority of reasons, but I want to at least support a situation where people can access stuff outside, where people can leave this mass-surveilled dog shit that we live in and at least still retain some semblance of their privacy and safety and ultimately their security. You know, one of the big things for me even thinking this way too is not just playing a video game or looking up conspiracies, but when I was in high school, one of the classes that I had was U.S. history. And I remember very distinctly, it was this class that taught me that propaganda is very much an alive and healthy thing no matter where you live. You know, I talked a lot about countries like China or North Korea where the ability to freely speech is non-existent. You can't even download VPNs in China because when it comes to their mobile devices, they try to block access to downloading those packages or getting access outside the Great Firewall that they have. Of course, if you're somebody elite in China, if you're somebody very famous, if you're somebody very popular, if you're somebody in the upper echelon, well, you have freedoms that the very common man doesn't have. Now, in America, I was always kind of like taught that you have the freedom of speech, you have the freedom of expressions, you always have the freedom to freely access the content that you want. And I don't know if we're going to get to a point where going to search for the Tor browser is going to lead to a situation where this download will be prevented because it could expose you to naughty things on the internet. but it is like the it is one of the tools that you have to freely access the truth on the internet. When I was a kid and I was going to, you know, this U.S. history class, I remember it was a class where we only learned good things, where we only learned the best parts of what the U.S. did. I think the only thing critical that we had ever heard was the fact that the U.S. had Japanese internment camps during World War II. And that was a bad thing, obviously, and, you know, it was a big part of U.S. history that is so big that you can't necessarily ignore it. So it's one of those pills that I think the curriculum had to swallow. But, you know, you could talk about war crimes and situations, you know, all day, every day. You could talk about everything evil the Nazis did, the Soviets did, yada, yada, yada. But there was never any focus on things like Abu Ghraib. There was never any focus on U.S. war crimes. There were... See, that's the thing about propaganda, right? Like, anytime you learn something, it's very much a sanitized, victor wants to teach you what the victor wants you to ingrain for the rest of your life. And it's when I had that class that I started to read outside what I was learning, and that's when I learned, hey, if you're going to get the truth on any situation, it's about accessing every bit of information that you can see from every source, aggregating it, and seeing what works and what doesn't work. And that requires a lot of effort. But that's true freedom. That's true. That's the true ability to think freely without, you know, just sitting in this bubble that people are so accustomed to, each of their own individual bubbles and so on and so forth. But I don't know. That's kind of the world we're headed to where, again, I think that the government wants to limit access to information. And, you know, a lot of these kids that are growing up, like, I hate to say it, they're being groomed by the government to be acceptable of losing their rights, losing their freedoms, to be conditioned in a way where, you know, these kids find it weird that installing a third-party operating system, installing a third-party package, using a VPN to go outside the control mechanisms that they're so accustomed to, that they're raised in, to access information for these kids is probably fucking weird. And I don't know, I think this is a losing battle. And really, at the end of the day, the GUARD Act is one of many hundreds of bills that maybe might make it all the way through, maybe they probably won't. But this is a fight that most people don't have the capacity to really understand it, and most people don't really care to understand it. So for the few of us that are watching that actually care about our freedom, as I think most people should, It's time to not give up, but it's time to just not have any faith in this system and to just take matters into your own hands and fight the censorship machine on your own terms. So if that means self-hosting, if that means governing your own compute, that might be a path going down. Because if you don't do it now, it's going to be substantially harder down the road, okay? If you're not downloading these models from Hugging Face because the government is now focusing on local AI too, you might as well start downloading these and archiving them on a hard drive somewhere else, so at least you have these models available, you know, until they're not. And same goes for any other feature, right? You might as well download your favorite Linux distribution and just keep it stored on a flash drive somewhere, because who knows when the government makes it even more annoying to get access to. You might want to consider hosting your own Matrix sessions or, you know, self-hosted social media services so you and your friends can talk without the big government looking into every single fucking thing that you post. Maybe that's a worthwhile thing. Maybe it's worth hosting your own websites or your own forum boards using open source solutions. If you like what you saw, please like, comment, and subscribe. Dislike if you dislike it. I am out.